We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Air spell. I was there.
Oh, yeah, totally. Everybody remembers that good old time. Look at that beautiful photo, though. Doesn't it just look cool?
What a great matchup.
Just look at that
photo.
Bucks Rams, man. I got to say.
Jersey matchup.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Denver Sports Podcast. Go for it. Why not? Yeah, give us something. Give us like an eagle or something, Spence. What do you have? Like, what are you, like a golf swing? Whack.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that with my mouth.
Whack.
Just a club, generally speaking. But
just at least give me a little golf clap intro. Yeah. Guys, we have a great show for you today. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be a spicy one. This one, we lined up a spicy panel. It was a spicy weekend in Colorado sports. I'm going to go ahead and get in front of this. I'm going to say we have a lot of people in Buffs Nation. Shout to y'all. We like you guys.
Big nation.
You might not like this show as much because we're going to be what I think is going to be giving a casual or outside perspective on this Rocky Mountain Showdown, which I thought was exquisite, an incredible game. We're going to be talking about that, but not everything's going to be like sunshine and rainbows with it. We have some critiques both sides. We're going to talk about the Broncos. Is their season over? Are they a losing organization? Which is weird to say. And then we're going to talk about Philadelphia. We just launched PHLY. Great sports town. What did we learn while we were out there? You were out there, right, Spence?
Yeah, it's no matter, like, they talked about one of their worst teams right now, which is one of the worst in the major four, which is by far and away the Flyers.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Vince, and he was like, diehard fan base.
Oh, yeah.
That will sell out a takeover in like
they're
a
not
week.
Leaving.
Yeah, like they're So he's and it's cool when you have that.
Yep.
As a sports city to get all the major four and have a great fan base throughout the whole thing.
And I'm gonna pitch something that they have in Philly that I'm gonna try. It's gonna become my new mission to bring this to Colorado, the 4-for-4. So we're gonna talk about all of those things. I'll introduce the panel, though. Big Drive Spence, he runs our events here at All City, not just DNVR, but also all of our other networks. He also is a golf pro. He taught me everything I know about golf, which isn't much, but he did teach me pretty quickly.
Adam's got the golf bug now, and it's right. As a golf pro or a person that's been golfing a long time, I get a thrill out of you, like, texting me and getting excited about golf. Like, that excites me.
Dude, I'll text him, like, four beers in after, like,
just made a par.
Dude, I will.
It's so
it won't
great.
Even be, like, that it's cool so awesome. Of a moment. I'll be like, dude, I just cranked it, like, 180. Like, not even that far. And he'll be like, hell yeah, dude, you did it. So, shouts to Big Dry Spence.
Appreciate that.
Over there, my second show in a row, Brendan Vogt, the mustache man.
Man, this is fun. I always like doing other shows, tapping into other audiences. We already have a Buffs fan who thought this was the Buff show. Hardcore, not the Buff show.
He's gonna
so you're
going
to hop to the other one.
By the way, doesn't it look like Vogt started getting dressed from the top down and got bored? Just like quit.
Yeah,
he just like ran out of steam.
Holy shit.
That's so true. No, he just put a shirt on and then he said, well, this hat fits today. So it's the first one I grabbed. And then
shorts and then the, he's like, whatever.
From my angle, I almost looks like he doesn't have any shorts on. It just looks like just leg.
The mind can wonder.
I like it.
It's Colorado. You know what I mean? You get the fall up top, summer forever down low.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to set the tone here. Rocky Mountain Showdown was this weekend. CU Buffs, CSU Rams. People don't realize this, but the state of Colorado, it really is pretty close to 50-50 in my experience, Buffs Rams. Like, in Colorado locally, but the Buffs are the bigger national brand because they're in the Pac-12 and they've been in the Big 12 and this or that. But the two schools have a lot of students and a lot of alumni that are in Colorado. So I feel like it is pretty closely split in terms of people I know that like Buffs that like and like Rams. They're two very, very common schools. I didn't go to either one. I have no allegiance here. I went to a school that had an academic standard, so I did not go to these two schools. So I just had to get my little jab in. Had to get a little jab in.
Yes.
But I didn't go to CU or CSU, so I don't have a dog in the fight. Right. Spence, what is your perspective on these two? Before we get into the game, just where's your allegiance?
Well, so I don't have one either. I went to UCCS, University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. Didn't have a football team, so I consider myself a CU adjacent, but... my grandpa and dad grew up, both went to Iowa, and I've been a diehard Iowa fan my whole life and never wavered, which is kind of the whole idea of the show.
The lamest thing about you, but I'm not trying to make fun of your grandpa, was cute.
I mean,
I will.
My grandpa played center in the 1930s at 6'1" on the basketball team.
That's awesome. So, 6'1".
Yeah, 6'1", and he's not like, it's crazy.
That's just basically a tiny king.
Yeah, that's impressive. Exactly. So my allegiance lies with neither team. It was a great game, obviously, but I always root for the underdog. And to be honest, like, you know, the CU fans that are still in this, you know, shout out to you. But the pompous ass.
You're diving
arrogance
right in. I gotta slow you down.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to establish a baseline of we're not biased on this. Like, vote. Do you have a bias towards CU or CSU?
No, I do not.
You're from Jersey.
I'm from Jersey. So, like, I want Colorado to win, right? So, as CU was opening the season and with all that hype, I'm all about it.
Right.
As they enter a matchup with another Colorado school,
yeah,
I default to my instincts. Like you, I always root for underdogs.
Okay, so that's part of it. I just wanted to establish that, but go back to it. So...
I think CU fans tend to forget, which I would too, that they were the worst Division I college football team in the country last year.
I feel
the forgetness of it. I feel like instead of like, hey, we were here and now it's so great to be where we are now. Like it's like, oh, we're the best.
Right.
We're just the absolute best. Like that. Sports is like that. It comes and goes. But remember where you came from. I think that's my biggest take on there. You know, the CU fans like RK and like Harrison, the guys that were there last year, the 1-11 Buffs showing up to games. Those people I'm extremely happy for.
Right.
But the people that all of a sudden are, you know, and even Deion fans. And I like Deion. That's the crazy thing is like I like Deion. But what Deion has turned CU casuals into has made me not like the team.
So I love a bandwagon. So for me, I have no problem with it. Like this is sports. I don't think everybody needs to take every sport as seriously as the most serious of fans. So for me, I have a leeway there. And like you, love Coach Prime. Totally prime-pilled. First couple weeks of the season, even in the lead up to it, I'm not just watching the game. Like that first game is really what got me because I was excited. You know, our guys are excited. They get me excited. RK and Jake and Neely. And like all this stuff, I'm getting pumped up as the season goes on, but there's this undertone of like, I'm afraid it's going to blow up in all of our faces and they're not going to be actually good.
Yeah.
Then they beat TCU. And I'm telling you guys, I was fully Buffs-pilled. I'm watching every well-off video. I'm watching every presser from Coach Prime. I'm watching every behind-the-scenes video I can get. I can't get enough Coach Prime. So for me, I'm one of these casuals that jumped on board and I'm with it. But there is this undertone of CU... fan base, the core fan base to me has always been a little bit of a pompous fan base that didn't have, they had the like 90s and it's carried them for 30 years since then to where they're like smug about a thing that hasn't been good for so long. So I understand that sentiment, even if like I was like, F it, I don't care. I love Prime. I'm in on Prime.
Yeah, I would say that that's why everyone is so excited, right? They know that they're 1-11. I get that. I do think particularly through the lens of how they're juxtaposed with CSU. For a long time, there are a lot of pot shots of like, oh, our little brother, when like, yeah, I mean, that's the game on the schedule. You might win this year.
Right.
And I just always felt like, you know, they were very quick to establish themselves as a different program from CSU while in the meantime, they were losing a lot of games. So I'm always sympathetic to the underdog, but in this cultural clash in Colorado, not cultural, fan-based clash, I find myself particularly sympathetic to Rams fans sometimes.
Here's where I think I officially land on everything now that the dust has settled. I am all in on the Buffs. I'm all in on Coach Prime. I'm all in on this era. And it is so much better for all of us as sports fans if the Buffs ride this wave and just keep riding it for years and years, and they become a first-class team. Like, right now, the hype is there. Well, I'm still not quite sure how good they are, but the hype is there and the excitement is there, and just look at all the people. I will say, I do feel like the showdown almost felt like a necessary humbling in some ways for me, where I was like, yes, this team has to also be a blue-collar team. They also have to, like, earn it every step of the way. And to me, that's what this one was. So my big takeaway from this game was, one, here's my big takeaway. CSU doesn't get the shine probably that they deserved coming into this one. And CU, I think, probably digged a little bit into that. Like, Jay Norvell had a really dumb comment. His hats and sunglasses comment. Dorky, lame, almost felt a little, like, cringy. Like, everything about it was really, really lame. The Buffs made it personal. They started clapping back. Fights on everything like this, you think, okay, here's a good old-fashioned dogfight. I thought CSU brought the dogfight, and CU did not for most of that game.
I mean, yeah, the Norvell outcoached Prime the entire game. Prime had the better talent. That showed out in the end. Shedeur Sanders is an extremely talented player. You know, they lost Travis Hunter, which still they overcame that. But no, Jay Norvell outcoached Prime in this game. He had a 50% as good roster, and they won the game until the last minute.
By some awesome passes, by the way, from Shedeur. Like, the clutch factor for the Buffs was actually really dope. They really came in clutch, but they looked like crap until the last couple of minutes of the game, honestly.
I thought there was a matchup, like CSU, it was a good matchup for CSU. Their skill players are talented. Their wide receivers are always talented. And they clearly found a way that they were able to, right off the bat, find success against the Buffs. But to me, I actually loved that. I think when you get in front of the media for a week and you say it's personal now, it's also personal for the other side.
They clearly in silence, because nothing personally makes its way outside of Fort Collins. But they clearly were just sitting there going, like, we're supposed to just sit here. We know this is Nuggets fans. Like, Nuggets fans are kind of like, feel like CSU, you know, where you feel like you're always overlooked. The narrative's never about you. Oh, it's the everything Lakers, Lakers. So, like, you sit there the whole time and you're just like, you're not even going to mention Jokic. You're not even mention this. So that's this how is, they came
I'm
out.
I'm really glad you brought this up. My connection to Colorado sports is through the Nuggets and through this ultimate no coast bias. Everyone looks past you guys, doesn't talk about you guys. And it's awesome that people are talking about CU, but in this matchup for a week, there was a very intense Lakerfication of the Buffs.
Yeah.
And every national outlet had to be there for that game, but no one was there because of CSU. Right. And then guess what? At the half, it's a game. And we're watching this game because of, we still don't know who's going to win it. So I do think, for me, there was a very intense Lakerfication of it very fast. I don't mind that week to week in a vacuum. It's awesome that the eyes are on Colorado. But I did feel a Nuggets brand of defensive towards the Rams fans. I think at one point Deion was even asked, before the game started, when you beat them, what are you going to say at midfield?
Yeah.
And I just felt, I was not surprised to see Colorado State walk in there and say, like, we're taking this personally too. Right. I think that's to be expected.
Let me just say real quick, because I see some people confused. Guys, this is not the Buffs show. We have a Buffs show. It's Jake and RK and Uncle Neely, and they do a great job. This isn't that. That show is tailored to people that want to hear about the Buffs and from a Buffs perspective. We're giving I put this in the description of the show. It's like a casual's perspective. We open the show by saying we don't have a rooting interest here. But I do think it's important, even for the Prime fans who have come over to DNVR and been following the Buffs, to understand an important dynamic that is here in Colorado between these two teams that, to be honest, was kind of weird to watch play out in real time this week. Again, we're all, like I said, prime-pilled. We're all excited for it.
But
there were elements
CU
of it this weekend that just felt a little like, I don't know, man, like, that's kind of what I'm getting at here. CSU is also Colorado.
That's my point.
And there
that's
was a weirdness
point
to them becoming the evil guys and the you know, whatever. And it's like, hey, man, those boys came and showed up and took this game seriously and did a lot of impressive things. And that was my big takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like, if you asked me right before the game, I mean, I had CU minus 23 points. I thought there was no way this game was going to be close with how CSU had looked against, I mean, Washington State's better than people give them credit for, but you know, CSU brought the fight. They were the aggressive team. They made plays. They, you know, had a good game plan, and they almost came out with the win. And it's, you know, like, once again, I'll just reiterate what he said. This is the DNVR Sports Podcast. This is not a Buff show. All right. So everybody that's like, hey, you know, Buff show here, but like, this is not the Buff show. I'll say it slowly for you. This is not the Buff show. Right. Hopefully everybody gets that. But the game, it was a great game, and it was great for the rivalry. It was great for the state of Colorado. It was on ESPN. You know, it sucks that it was late, that, like, you know, it was 10 p.m. start for the East Coast people that want to watch this game, because that was, I mean, that was the game of the day. Yeah. And it was great that CSU made it a game. And it lived up to the
hype, man.
Exactly.
It, like, lived up to the hype of the game. And that's one of my other big takeaways here, is that if you talk to some CU fans, they feel like the Rocky Mountain Showdown is beneath them.
That's kind of,
and as
yeah.
Coach Prime has gotten here, there might be a point in the very near future where that's the case. Where, I mean, our hope with Coach Prime is that he elevates the Buffs into a different stratosphere than what the Buffs Rams rivalry,
which
has been.
By the way, he has already done.
Which he's already done, and yeah.
And it bled into CSU in a good way.
Brought attention to them, yep.
Prime, just to placate you guys a little bit, brought attention to the Rocky Mountain Showdown, and both sides delivered.
Yeah.
They put that game in prime time on a Saturday after an SEC game. It was the most watched game of the day. Everyone was waiting for that other game to get off their TV, and both of these teams delivered good football. Not just, now it got dirty and contentious, and I get it. No. But I'm saying, like, that was quality football on a high level, and it was by far the most watched game of the day. So it was really cool to see Colorado win on that stage. What was fun for me was the reminder that both of these sides are Colorado. And I thought it was really cool to see the decided underdog really show up and bring some juice to that game. People loved watching that all around the country. And some people tuned in to see a Buffs blowout, but part of the reason why people loved that game was because CSU made it competitive from the jump.
And that's the thing about this is, you guys know, it's like, this is really true in football, but it's true of all sports, where you'll have a rival and one of them is down a little than the other, or the other one is just up, right? That's the dynamic here. But it's like, yeah, but it's a rivalry game, so all bets are off. It doesn't matter that this team is twice as talented. This one is, quote unquote, personal. Well, and these teams are going to bring it. And that's what that was.
And this game's been off for a couple of years. Now it's back on campuses, which is awesome. It used to be, went in like 2013 at Mile High Stadium. It was a great, you know, the matchup was great. The rivalry was great. And, you know, neither of these teams have been world beaters since I've been alive, essentially. Yeah. And so it's fun to have the rivalry and have, and then get all to get the Nationals shine. It was awesome. Yeah. It was cool for the state of Colorado, because as a native, as growing up here, everything gets overlooked, especially at, you know, under professional sports. Like, if you look at, like, dropping it all the way down to, like, high school, let's say high school football, you might find a kid from Colorado in the top 500, one or two kids. So we don't have the shine of, you know, prep sports that other places have. And then going into the bigger, you know, going into the pros, you know, now we have two championship teams in the past 2 years. The Buffs are good. Like, Colorado itself is getting its shine, which I enjoy.
Yeah. But the thing I will say, and the reason I was going to this, is I feel like this matchup, to me, no matter how different directions they go, it needs to continue. Like, I've heard some people saying, like, oh, I don't know about the road. CU needs to add better teams to the schedule. F that, man. That was awesome. Yeah. Like, that, the intensity of that game was awesome, and that's what you want. I don't care if these two teams go in different directions, which, by the way, I'm not even so sure that, you know, again, Norvell's new there. They looked like they knew what they were doing out there. But I'm just saying, a rivalry like that is always going to make for great drama and a great game. And I wish, look, that hit on Travis Hunter was a dirty hit.
Dirty.
He should have been thrown out,
I
honestly.
Thought right on the spot.
And
you throw
now the
out.
News comes out today that he'd hurt his liver. He has a liver laceration. He's going to miss a couple weeks. Like, it's horrible. So that part aside, because I think that was a big part of the game, obviously, and that was terrible. But the intensity, the rivalry, the fact that these guys were getting into it, you know, all of this, to me, it was so great. It's what you like about sports. And you almost have to take a minute back to be like, there's a difference between real hate and sports hate. And, like, we have, you could tell how people feel about this. We have like 50 downvotes or something already from these Buffs fans. That just tells me they actually got hurt. Like, honestly, that's
exactly
what that tells me,
yeah,
is that
yeah.
they were actually hurt by this weekend because of how close it was. And because, you know, like, we did this with, like, the Suns. You know, you beat the Suns, people hop in the mention to talk trash, and you're like laughing about it. You only hit the downvote button when you actually got hurt. And to me, that tells you, that's because it was a real rivalry.
And that's my thing, is I loved that the rivalry met the stage, and I do my one hope with it, and I get that fans are bases are always going to talk trash, but from DNVR, because by the way, we cover Colorado sports at DNVR. Jake and Ryan cover the Buffs. We don't. I do like this idea of like, I don't know, man. It was awesome to see the other side elevate and meet the moment, because a lot of Buff fans always go, well, is it really a rivalry? It's a big brother, little brother rivalry. Well, you rush the field after you beat them in overtime as huge favorite. So it's clearly a rivalry, and it's good for Colorado. And if I'm a football player in the region and I haven't heard from Prime yet, yeah, I'm pretty intrigued by what Jay Norvell and his guys just did. And that it's a huge missed opportunity for CSU. Like, I don't think they should be satisfied with just competing. They could have and should have won that game. But ultimately, Colorado football won on a national stage.
I agree. But real quick, before we get out of here, with CU, because I thought it was a pretty, again, they lost Travis Hunter early, but I thought it was a pretty unimpressive game. Are you, does it change your perspective at all about the Buffs? I was riding the super high. This week, it's like, all right, a little cold water.
Yeah, it hasn't changed my perspective yet, because my perspective has stayed the same. Now, when they beat TCU, let me get this straight for all the CU fans that are still there. CU is a great football team, and they have the talent through and through that any Division I roster has.
I love Shadur. I think he's unbelievable.
They're awesome. I love watching
him. He's a player. He's an absolute dog, going to be in the NFL. But they played a TCU team that was clearly overrated at 17, and then they played Nebraska, who sucks. Let's not. Yeah. We can all agree on that. The whole chat can agree on that.
Yeah, but they won, though. People did this to the Nuggets, and I'm not going to do it. They won the game.
I'm saying it doesn't change my perspective, because Nebraska sucks. And CSU, we don't really know what they are. They played one game against a ranked team and lost pretty badly, and now played a second game against a ranked team and took them to the last minute. So, you know,
This is my takeaway, too.
CU this week, all these Buffs fans still here, if you want to believe and you want me to believe, go into Eugene and make the game close.
And by the way,
Pull it off, baby.
I do believe already in what they've done. It's the most impressive overnight turnaround we've ever seen. So I'm not, like, I'm rooting for CU next week. Yeah. I'm loving the Prime experience. Yeah. It's awesome. But I do think there was that game in a, not just a rivalry sense, but a football sense, I don't want to say exposed, because I think Prime knows this as well as anyone, that there's levels to this, and they've got a long way to go. It's still awesome, by the way, that they've opened up 3-0 after going 1-11.
You just feel less confident about them beating Oregon this weekend. Like, maybe 4 days ago you'd be like, you know what, they're going to beat CSU, and I don't know, they may beat Oregon too.
Yeah, and that's okay, by the way, that we don't know if they're going to beat Oregon. It's sick that that's even on the table, because again, I think people forget what the preseason expectations were. Even from the optimists, even from inside this camp, it was, you know, we weren't sure how many games they were going to win. So it's still cool that we're even able to have that conversation. But it was also a reminder that there are levels to this and there's a ways to go.
Yeah. For me, I think to echo what you were saying, Spence, I feel a little less confident in CU after that week. And I feel like CSU might be a lot better. I mean, after week one, they get smacked by Washington State. And I'm sitting there, again, just following narrative. Didn't even watch the game. But I'm sitting there going, like, Jay Norvell, last year, okay. Second year, you come out and get smacked right away on your home field. Maybe this guy's just another bad coach. And, like, here we go again. But you watch him this game, and yes, they're 0-2. And I walk away going, you know what? I'm intrigued to follow them all year. I'm kind of curious to see what happens now.
I think they're pretty good, and Washington State looks like a really good team.
Yeah, and then they laid 62 over the weekend.
Though. Yeah, I mean,
they beat Wisconsin. They beat a decent a Big Ten team.
That's what was kind of cool to me,
and
man.
And maybe that's the truth of all of this, is CU is actually really good, and CSU is really good.
Is
and
actually
CU
pretty
beat
good.
A really good team.
That's cool,
it's
too.
Entirely
I'm
possible.
Happy for
that. Would be dope.
I
hope that's the case.
I latched onto the Denver sports scene through the Nuggets, but I'm looking for ways to like get involved with every team, right? And it's been tough with CSU, but this was it for me. I was like, oh, they're a real football program, real fan base, real presence in the state. Am I going to watch every CSU game? No. If I catch them in conference play, I'm tuning in, and I think they're going to win some games.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to hit into the Broncos. You thought we were rough on CU, which, by the way, we were. If you thought we were rough, wait till you hear us talk about the Broncos today.
0-2. Broncos.
A little bit of a bummer.
Yeah. Spence, you want to start us off?
Yeah, so we're going to tell you guys about the DraftKings Sportsbook. You can get into the action with DraftKings. Use that promo code DNVR at sign up, and all you do is bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You can throw five down on any of this weekend's college football or NFL matchups. It's always more fun when you get some, you know, some action on the game. Me being a CU adjacent fan and watching this game, I had to have some action on it. I bet CU for the record. I did too. I actually lost
my CU bet. I had two bets.
Yeah, I thought they were going to cover.
That's really
to be
why we're mad.
Yeah, exactly. I lost my two unit bet, but I actually have made quite a good amount of money on CU. So that part's been awesome, but you can do that as well at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Football is always more fun when you got skin in the game. So get signed up now with the promo code DNVR, bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code DNVR. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, Louisiana, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Game Time is helping you get your butt in the seats for the best events in town. And that's not just sports. If you notice right now, all of our teams are going to be either not playing or on the road for a little bit. But with Game Time, you can get great seats to all kinds of events, like the Arctic Monkeys tonight at Red Rock. Still seats available at Game Time, where they're working to get you the best last second prices. And I view it a bit like an app that brings people together. Those who want to sell tickets at the last second, those who realize at the last second they would like to be there. All kinds of great events going on in Colorado, sports or otherwise. It's a real mecca for sports and entertainment. Check out the Arctic Monkeys tonight at Red Rocks and do it by buying your tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app now, create an account, and use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase.
All right, segment two, the Denver Sports Podcast. And I was going to say it again, not the Buffs Podcast, the Denver Sports Podcast. Equally as big of a story, actually, probably not. Actually, that's not true. A slightly smaller story from over the weekend, which is why it's segment two, the Denver Broncos at home for the second week in a row, carried a 21-3 lead halfway through the second quarter of that game. I'm sitting there, I don't know how you guys felt, but I'm sitting there watching this game going like, all right, I overreacted week one because I was very down about them losing 17-16, but here it is. Russ is slinging that thing. He had 80-yard dime. He had some nice power, 60-yard dime. He had some nice passes, and then it was over. Then all of a sudden, the same old Broncos showed up, and the Broncos get worked by the Commanders. To me, this was like, I probably have said this 10 times in the last 8 years, Spence. It felt like a new low.
Yeah, well, it's already a new low considering that growing up in this town, the Broncos ruled all.
Yeah.
And now, not only are they the third best professional team or third most talked about professional team in this state, they are now not even the most talked about football team in this state. And
I would have bet my life savings that would never happen.
Exactly. And it's a crazy low for them. They brought it for the first half. It is just watching the game, and I was there, and at halftime, there was a ton of Commanders fans there, which shout out to them. I mean, I didn't think they traveled as well as they did. So I was like pretty pumped about that for them. Like, I love seeing other fan bases travel well. Cause whenever I go somewhere, I went to a Nuggets Spurs game in like 2016. I was the only Nuggets fan the entire, I didn't see a single jersey. That would change now. But I respect that. I respect being the enemy. That's always fun. But they were like, yeah, we're right in this game. And I'm like, I'm thinking, what the fuck? We just scored 3 touchdowns on 3 straight drives. No, you're not. Yeah. And then, of course, I was obviously wrong. But up 21-3 and a fumble from Russ that I didn't think was a fumble originally, watching it in slow-mo, obviously sucked. Changed the whole game.
That was a bad play,
you
got
to be
man.
Tougher mentally than to lose a 21-3 lead after losing one fumble in momentum.
Yeah.
What really, really is unfortunate about it is that it seemed, for the first time, you're watching that offense and you're going, this looks like a normal football team. They can run a play. They can get a snap off. That was a downfield completion. And that's great. Except now it doesn't look like you have the defense you used to. And so it's like this weird kind of whack-a-mole thing where you want to say it's looked better. You want to say it's been more fun. except they're also just 0-2 again, and it's really, really deflating. I wonder, just relative to expectations, because everyone is out on Rockies, but there's an argument I think you could make that the Broncos have the least goodwill in town right now. And
yeah, you can. It's the Rockies. Yeah. But
I know, you know what I mean, though? Like, you're right. That's not the right way to frame it, but they're closer to the Rockies than they should be.
Well, here's the thing.
They're closer to the Rockies than
they
should
be. What do the Rockies have that's pretty definitive that they have it? A losing culture.
That's
like,
the
they just have this thing about them where it just feels like, from ownership down, that they are going nowhere. And this is the thing about the Broncos. And I thought it last year in particular with some of these bad losses where you're like, are we a losing organization now? Is this a losing? For years, the Broncos have basically been bad 2 or 3 years since 1984. Honestly, like from 1984 to 2015, the Broncos were almost always in the playoffs, in Super Bowls, or at least had the expectation going in, minus a couple little blips on the radar. 8 years now. And at some point, you lose that shine. And I'm just watching this Broncos team, because that game on Sunday felt like snatching defeat from the claws of victory. Like, the victory was theirs, and they're like, oh, no, we can lose this. And you sit there and go, are we becoming the Lions?
It sort of feels like that. Like, somebody texted me today, one of my friends, and goes, why do the Broncos suck? And I was like, well, their roster is mediocre.
It's,
you
okay,
know?
Yeah.
It's a decent, they got decent weapons on offense, they got decent players on defense, but they don't know how to win football games right now. So maybe that is a losing culture that they're faced with, is they just straight up don't know how to win football games. They can score 16 with a missed extra point and a missed field goal in week one and lose, or they can score 33 and look basically unstoppable for the entire first half, you know, make some turnovers, make some bad plays in the second half, and end up losing, scoring 33 points after a Hail Mary that they completed. And then, I mean,
I know, which was actually dope.
Yeah, somebody goes,
one of the coolest,
somebody had, that was caught right in front of me. And somebody said, what are they like lining up to do here? And they were like, I was like, it's going to be a Hail Mary. They got one play left. And they were like, I said something to the effect of, and I said, it's going to be fun. And then the second Brandon Johnson caught the ball, I turned around and I said, it's going to be fucking fun.
Do you know how many times I've seen a Hail Mary succeed for my team? I think it's only CU against Michigan, 1996 or whatever it was. I don't know the last time I've seen a completed Hail Mary.
Yeah, not
it feels
for
pretty rare.
It is super rare. And that ball just like floated and bounced, and I was like,
it was
I
awesome.
Couldn't believe what I saw with my eyes.
I am so pissed that they needed 2 points on that one, because it
know.
Was like such a cool thing, and I immediately went to like, well, lightning's not going to strike twice.
Well, and that goes back to, you know, they're one of the things with the Broncos right now is their margin of error is so razor thin that they can't.
Tiff, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Let them do their thing. It doesn't bother me.
We know why it's happening.
they didn't log in and get what they wanted. So the margin of error for the Broncos is so razor thin. Like, a simple play like Alex Singleton, who's a great linebacker, great player, friend of the program, friend of DNVR, dropped an interception, and at the time you're like, I don't give a shit. Like, we're up 21-3.
Right.
That could have changed
the
game. The 2-point conversion that randomly they reviewed, and Brian Robinson, who also just destroyed us yesterday, good for him, love the dude. He didn't, like, there was no evidence that he scored. This made it 21-11 at the time. It was 21-9. They go for two, which didn't even really make sense to me, but they go for two. They don't get it. Broncos are pumped. They're going off the field, and all of a sudden they review it, and they're like, oh, yeah, he scored, and now it's 21-11. At the same time, the same thought. Yeah. I don't care. You know, we're up 10. Our offense looks great all day, but those little plays turn into losing plays and losing you games.
But it's all, to me, there was an inevitability factor to it, where obviously pass interference at the end, and it just, to me, can't even get that mad about it, because I never felt like they were converting that 2-point conversion, even after the Hail Mary. And this is not... this is casual analysis, not a football guy. But sometimes there is a vibe. There's a cloud hanging over the Broncos experience right now.
That's exactly
that
it.
That darkened even that Hail Mary. Almost, I was
happy for like 5-10 seconds.
I was very
right,
excited.
My mind immediately went to like,
right
gosh,
away,
we need
I was
to?
Like, they're not, nope. They're not going to fucking convert this.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
not.
100%.
And so that's kind of where I think the Lions thing comes into play. There's an inevitability feeling to it right now that's really tough.
Yeah.
And shouldn't, in the eyes of the fans of this organization, should never have happened. It seems impossible from where you once were.
Well, but this is the thing, right? Teams are always, organizations are always rising and falling. We're seeing this in the NBA with the Lakers kind of, you know, since Dr. Buss, who was a great owner and one of the maybe the single greatest owner to ever come through the NBA, innovator, visionary, all those things. When he passes away, it goes on to his children. Like, some of the magic was left, and it was disguised a little bit by LeBron picking them, you know, basically taking the corpse of the Lakers and zombieing them into another title inside of a Disneyland. But for the most part, you look at the Lakers and you go, that's not, they don't have the same shine they used to have. The Cowboys, they were the team of the 90s, right? You had all this stuff, and they've had some good teams, but some of the shine's there. This happens. Teams rise and fall.
No, they do.
I just look at this with the Broncos and I go, they've had an ownership change similar to what we talked about with the Lakers. They've kind of lost a little bit of that magic. And the moves they've made lately have all kind of felt like
that's the thing,
the crumbling empire.
They don't, yes, precisely. They don't feel close or this away from much. You know, that's the thing. It just feels like they are signed up, Spencer, for an era that is not going to be fun in the near future.
No, you just don't know what you're going to, there's no direction. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. You've got a $40 million quarterback that you still, he's played, you know, I think he missed two or three games last year, so he's probably played the equivalent of a full 17-game season by now. You still don't know what he is.
Right.
He, in game one, he came out, threw two quick touchdown passes, good to go. Last game, you know, he threw for 300 yards. Yes, 56 of that was on a Hail Mary, but threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, looked like a competent quarterback, but you still don't know what he is, and you're paying him $40 million. Like, I got a, you know, an update here that Patrick Mahomes a little bit ago restructured his contract again. And that's what winning teams don't continue to pay a quarterback, especially an underperforming one. I'll give Patrick Mahomes $100 million a year.
Right.
But those teams then find ways, like the Brady ways, where then they can stack their whole roster. And when the Broncos used to make moves, Aqib Talib worked out perfectly. DeMarcus Ware worked out perfectly. TJ Ward worked out perfectly. They're signing people. This is, you know, 2013 to 2015. They're signing all these players that end up, oh, wow, that was what a great signing. We worked that out, you know, and the Peyton Manning effect. And now they're signing guys, you know, like, I'm not totally criticizing his play because I have been at both Broncos games in the stadium and drinking. So I can't, like, completely analyze everybody's play and from, like, watching an All-22. But, like, Zach Allen, big sign that they got from the Cardinals. Where's he? Has he done anything?
Yeah.
They paid him, like, $15 million a year. So it's just, like, not only is the quarterback not working out, which then trickles down to the whole team, but none of the guys they're signing are making an impact.
Yeah, there's this sort of shine that an organization can have where it feels like you can't do any wrong. Right. The Spurs had it for a while, the Cardinals in baseball for a while.
The Cardinals, or Spurs is another great one. Yeah. They kind of maybe have lost a little bit.
Well, same with the Cardinals, dude. Yeah. They're so far. And it's what you were saying with the Broncos. The name is still there, but you look at the organization top to bottom. How many links to that era are there left?
Right.
Now, there's still the name John Elway,
right,
but it doesn't appear to be enough. And so is this really a destination where things turn around and good things happen the way it once was? Or that shine seems to be lost. And so it does feel right now like some L's are inevitable.
You need somebody to come in and sort of galvanize them to, you know, in some way. And that can be the owner,
yeah,
who's been, you know,
or a new GM.
The ownership group is clearly going to spend a lot of money. That part is a very important part, but it's not everything. You also need the sort of like the gravitas, the leadership, the direction, all of those things. And then you need good management, which again, I think the Broncos might be in flux there. We're going to find out. I mean, this season not going so well. And then you need a great coach. And I look at this and I just go, Sean Payton has rubbed a surprising amount of people the wrong way in his short time here, and they're 0-2
yeah,
at home.
And I think that's carrying over from, you know, I thought Sean Payton was the right hire. That's still, you know, to be determined. Obviously, everybody thought Josh McDaniels was the right hire after
right.
going six games, and
you
it
need
turned
more
out
time.
To be a
he
dumpster fire.
More time.
And he deserves more time. And the roster isn't, you know, the roster isn't that bad when you look at all their position. But like you just said, and I'm not in the locker room. I have, like, this is not a plug, but I have a good source from inside the locker room. They do not have, like, that guy that's like, I'm fucking over losing. Like, Russ is a great quarterback, and he rode some great defenses, won a Super Bowl, like, probably a Hall of Fame career. He's not sitting in the locker room banging the table, I'm fucking over losing. And nobody's doing that, it seems like, in the Broncos organization at all. Nobody's like, I'm done with this losing shit that we've been doing for 2 years when we were supposed to be, you know, this team, nobody thought this team, somebody maybe thought this team was a Super Bowl team. It's borderline playoff team.
You wanted them to be borderline playoff. Keep our interest to December.
Correct. I wanted a game that mattered in December, and it looks like we're going to go a seventh straight year without getting
it. We might
it.
Not get one in November.
No.
And then there's the hope that the galvanizing move is bringing in Sean Payton, a winner, guy with all this experience. And I'm not blaming Peyton simply because I'm not watching film. I'm not a football guy. I couldn't tell you why a team loses a game the way the best analyst can. But I do think the bottom line is Sean Payton said some crazy stuff about this organization and the last coaching regime on the record.
Which I loved. I was so hyped about it.
I'm honestly asking because didn't the Broncos start 2-1 last year?
Well, come on. You're right. Two home games against bad teams.
I'm not saying he was wrong about Nathaniel Hackett, but you can't say that and come out 0-2 against those two teams.
I'm so bummed about my Broncos. I am glad that the Buffs have replaced that because I've really enjoyed my Saturdays.
Dude,
I've always
awesome.
Had Saturdays off. I've never been a college football guy. And now the Buffs have like given me something to get excited about.
The first
I'm excited
football
for
culture
it.
I've gotten to see since I moved to Denver.
But the Broncos have always been my team, and we're 2 weeks into it, and I'm just sitting there going, am I excited for next week's game? I'm not. I'm not excited for it, and that is such a freaking drag.
It's really tough with football, too. The way you play one game a week, you start 0-2, and
you talk about it all week,
oh, it's a month before I can even talk my – even if they win.
They got to go two wins.
They
got to
wait
a
month before I can even –
It sucks, man. But, you know, 1 week at a time, we're just down. The Broncos' vibes are down, and I worry about their long-term output. Let's take a break. On the other side, let's talk about Philly, the Philly launch, and what makes a great sports culture. Is it downvoting, hopping at a different show and downvoting it with anger because you don't understand the concept? Is it something else? We'll get to all of that.
Hey, Shady Rays is awesome because you shouldn't have to pay too much to look like you're worth a lot. That's how I feel. I like feeling comfortable, looking good, and not sweating the price when I shop with Shady Rays. Best of all, I like shopping with no risk, and I can do that with them because if I don't like my pair, I can exchange it or return it for free within 30 days. That's how I like to do my shopping. And we've got a deal for you, too. If you listen to any of these podcasts, then you know Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use code DNVR for 50% off. That's half off. 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people.
Shady Rays, my favorite. I forgot to wear my Shady Rays on this podcast today. It would have been nice to maybe had some polarized ones. Polarized ones would have been great. I'm going to tell you guys about Factor Meal Kits. I've been using Factor Meal Kits since before they were a partner of DNVR. I get my shipment every single Tuesday. They have a bunch of great meals, and they're always changing their meals. I'm not a big, I don't eat a lot of cheese and dairy, and they have all those options for me every single week. Factor Meal Kits is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. I used to get HelloFresh, and like, I'm a mess in the kitchen. I can't cook correctly. Like, I can't focus on more than one thing at a time. So cooking for me is just a disaster. So Factor, super easy. Put it in the microwave, 2 minutes, and then it comes out. And it's like I said, there's a ton of great options. They got breakfast options, smoothies, a ton of stuff like burgers. It's lunch on the go, and I bring my lunch every day to work. And it's easy when I don't have to go to Jimmy John's or go to no free ads. But when I get to use a Factor meal kit, it just makes it easier. I don't even have to leave the office. They also have Protein Plus with 30 grams of protein per meal if you're trying to get in the gym and gain. So use that code DNVR50 and you at factormealkits.com/DNVR50. And you're getting 50% off your first box, and then they send you a ton of discounts for boxes past that. So Factor's really the way to go. It gets you your meals for all the week. You don't have to worry about lunches, dinners. If you're always on the go, Factor meal kits are the way to go. Once again, that's promo code DNVR50.
And I saw somebody in the chat say, is DNVR Buffs not the flagship show at DNVR? No, they actually are number one on YouTube. But they're number 4 on podcasts. So if you want to help them out, everybody that watches the Buff Show and tunes in, currently they're behind Nuggets, Avs, and Broncos on podcasts. Go subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating and review. If you like those guys and you support them, leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps that show get discovered and more people hop on the Buffs bandwagon. So you guys can actually help them out to become the flagship show.
There you go.
All right, moving on now. Let's go to – we launched Philly last week, PHLY. A new market. I was out there for just a couple days, and I gotta say, man, the fan base out there is insane. There was a Phillies game. Now Phillies are in the hunt for the playoffs. Phillies game at like 11 o'clock, parking lot packed with people playing bags and tailgating and grilling and stuff on a Tuesday. That everywhere I went, people were in gear. Like here in Denver, we have a pretty good, you know, lots of Broncos fans. Now there's a lot of the Coach Prime fans are actually out of state. I mean, like Boulder's obviously popping. You're seeing a lot more of that. Nuggets win the title this year, the NBA championship. You see a lot more of that. It pales to what I saw in Philly. Everybody in Philly was rocking their gear.
Dude, I'll piggyback on that. So we went to a tailgate for the Eagles Thursday night before the Thursday night game. There was, I saw roughly 150 to 250 people from 4:30 to 7:30. I was the only person not wearing Eagles gear.
That's crazy.
I was the, and I'm not joking, the only one that didn't have green shoes or a green mohawk or an Eagles jersey or shirt. There wasn't any fans going to that game that I saw in that little area that I was in for the tailgate that didn't have an Eagles jersey on.
Yeah.
We went to, you know, our Broncos tailgate yesterday. Great tailgate. A lot of people that just like, you know, not necessarily in a jersey or rocking the team colors. It is truly an incredible sports town from top to bottom.
There is a, there's a crossover in the culture where supporting the team almost becomes something that's not necessarily a sports specific experience, right? So being a Phillies fan or an Eagles fan is so woven deeply into being a Philadelphian that you even come to associate some of the branding very strongly with the city and the state. I think Colorado has that with the Broncos. Now, I've been here in the downest, baddest you've ever been. So I, not that it's not as thriving. I do, even as an outsider, there's just so many Broncos hats everywhere. Like, I do associate the Broncos logo and that orange with Denver.
Yeah.
I think you can wear Broncos gear and support the Broncos without knowing football in any way. So that's there. I will say some of these northeastern cities, in my experience, have, it's like that for a lot of the sports, if not all of them. And that's what's really cool to me, is it's such a unmissable part of being a citizen of that city, is even if you don't really know the game, it's go Birds anyway.
Right. And it's so cool, man. And I got to say, one of the things I really loved, and this actually really pertains to our chat today, one of the things I really loved was Philly has this concept of the 4-for-4. Where Philly fans take a lot of pride in what a great sports town they are. They take a lot of pride in like, oh, we're the best fans in the world. But then they also take a pride in, I'm a diehard Eagles fan, but I'm also a huge Phillies, Flyers, and 76ers fan. They take a lot of pride in being what they call a 4-for-4, and it becomes a badge of honor. I would say Spence. Oh, Spence, that guy's a 4-for-4, man. That's a real sports fan, Spence is. And by the way, Spence actually is a 4-for-4.
Sicko. Watches the Rockies every night.
Wouldn't you say you're a 4-for-4? You're 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got three of them tattooed on my arm. So
who's not tattooed?
The Rockies. They have to win a title. They have to win a title. That was my goal.
I love that.
And they have to win a title, and once they do, they'll go on my arm. But no, I'm a true 4-for-4, and we don't, I feel like, you know, Denver's a fairly transplant city, but I feel like it's also not a city where, you know, hopefully people jumped on the Nuggets bandwagon. I'm not a big bandwagon guy in general. I personally, like, I like them if they're for my team. Obviously, I don't gatekeep who wants to be a fan of the team that's winning. Sometimes it's a little annoying. But, yeah, I grew up loving the Rockies, loving the Avs, loving the Broncos, and loving the Nuggets. And it's never going to change and never will change. And so I respect the 4-for-4s, but I don't think it's not a thing here as much as it could be. You know, there's people that root for, what's crazy is like a lot of Broncos fans are like not into, you know, their other, it's like there's so many Broncos fans that are like, oh, I'm a Broncos and a Lakers fan. I feel like that's a very popular combo.
Oh yeah.
Which is kind of wild to me. But no, definitely
it's a horrible combo.
I'm definitely a 4-for-4 and always, like I said, I watched 100+ Rockies games this year. And they're the worst team in baseball, or one of the worst teams in baseball. So I pride myself on that. It's cool to see. We got a couple more in the comments there, 4-for-4s.
Who's the 4-for-4s? I want to see.
And there's
proud
a comment
to be a 4-for-4.
In there.
If you're a 4-for-4 with the Rockies in this Rockies era, man, like that's like super impressive.
Yeah, well, and the thing for me is like, I cheer, like, I don't, obviously, we all know Rockies ownership sucks. Nobody likes them.
Right.
But I cheer for the players in the jersey. Yeah. That's what I cheer for.
Yeah.
And Nolan Arenado was one of my favorite players for 8 to 10 years. He goes to St. Louis, and Nikola Jokic is the only player that I've ever watched that if he goes somewhere else, God forbid, he won't, but if he did, I would still cheer for him and maybe cheer for that team. But he's the only person I've ever felt that way about.
Yeah.
The second you're not in that on that roster wearing that jersey, I do not care about what you do.
I think that when it comes to what's really a lost kind of concept, in my eyes, really belonging to the community you're in and not just renting a zip code is an increasingly difficult thing to do. And to me, sports are the obvious avenue. Like, it's the easiest way to do that. So as I seek to be closer to Denver, part of it is I don't want to just be a Nuggets fan. I want to have emotional vested interest in the success of all of these teams. It's one of the original goals of DNVR that is hard to do, but to one extent, we'd love to bring everyone under the same roof.
Right.
Not expecting it with Boulder and Fort Collins, but I, you know,
right. That one, most people pick aside or whatever.
But like in this city that, yeah. Okay. A lot of transplants, and what is the Denver culture? It's pretty malleable. We want to fight hard so that there are fewer Broncos and Lakers fans, right? There's to belong to Denver should be to have the Nuggets back in that series, not because of your basketball fandom, because you love Denver like that. And I think a lot of these great cities, and by the way, I do think Denver's one of them. They have that where it's so tribal in a way that I actually deeply admire and think is healthy through this channel.
You should have a little bit of tribalism for your home, because that means you take pride in it. It's like literally called civic pride, you know, supporting your sports teams. But there's something to, it gives you ownership of your place. I always hate people that live in a city and talk about how much they hate the city. Because I always want to think, like, are you making it better? You know, like, I feel an obligation as a citizen of Denver to be like, no, this is my city. I want it to be the best it can be for sports. I want it to be for food, for all these different things. I want to support the cool things that come into my city because I take pride in it. And I do think sports are a huge part of that, a huge part of that thing that binds you together. That's like, hey, we're a city of a bunch of different people, but we come together to root for something. And I do think, I mean, I'm a 3-for-4. I'll be honest. My favorite baseball team is the Colorado Rockies. I just don't have the energy to watch them. So that's why I'm a 3-for-4. I don't have another team.
No, that's fair. And baseball is the one sport where it's especially like time consuming. And there's so many games that when your team's not that good, like, yes, I watch them. Yes, I'm a sicko, but I don't expect a casual fan, like somebody say, I'm a Rockies fan, but I don't expect them to watch every single game or be like the NFL. I'm going to make a take here. If you call yourself an NFL fan or a college football fan and you don't watch every single game, you're not a fan of that team.
Right.
I'm sorry. There's 10 to 12 college football games a year. That's 36 hours. There's 17 NFL games, hopefully more. That's 51 hours. I've said this multiple times.
This isn't coming off this the top of
This isn't the first
head.
Time I've
this.
Ever said this, but you watch, you find the time to watch at every single game or else, you know, wedding, there's some certain things here and there that just absolutely prevent you from that. I get it. But overall, if you're like, yeah, I'm a fan of that team. Oh, I haven't watched them in 2 weeks. No, you're not. Sorry. Yeah.
And this was one of our goals, man. Like when we got together, when I came over to DNVR, we launched DNVR. I remember it was one of the things we talked about with Brandon and RK and Eric was we want to make Denver, like we want to bring it together. It feels so fresh. At the time, there was a radio station in town that was like only Broncos is the only thing people want and almost made this like campaign to attack the other fan bases.
Great timing.
They were very antagonizing to Nuggets fans and Az fans. I remember being like, this is dumb, man. We don't want to like fragment, divide and conquer the sports market. We want to bring together the sports market. And so for me, when I go to Chicago, which is also another great, I think, sports city, and then you go to Philly and see a great sports city, you're like, you know what? Denver has a little bit of work to do here to get there, and it's just kind of become my mission to, again, hopefully one day, bus fans in the chat are not hating on every other thing that's coming out of the same company or out of the same state. And I understand not every Prime fan is going to, like, I mean, has different allegiances that probably run a lot deeper. But I'm saying my hope is that this collective thing builds community and builds this like connective tissue because I just think it's there.
Also, first of all, I do think Denver is one of the great sports cities. I really do. I think what it suffers from is the obvious transplant thing.
Yeah, it's like just so many transplants.
And I don't, you can't.
And we're so nice. We're accommodating. That's the difference.
Hang on. That's real.
It's real. We make you feel at home like, oh, you're a Cubs fan. Go to the Cubs bar, man. We got three of them.
This is a half-baked self-deprecating take. I'm from the Northeast if you're in here from Philly. There is a, like, misery loves company. Yeah. We love to commiserate. There's this weird thing where in the Northeast, not everyone's happy, man. And sometimes life feels really hard and really tense and really, and it, sports becomes this insane arena for people to like let all of that out. And there's a strange contentment in Colorado. I'm honestly going to do this. People are happy. And I honestly, I honestly wonder if that eats into some of the intensity of the attachment to the sports.
Right.
Where, like, I know so many people whose entire day was, like, so contingent upon how that team played.
Right.
And there are people who live in this state that are like, hey, I'm just here for the fishing, man.
Yeah, you know? It's like the sun's so nice.
But I mostly think it's the transplant thing. But this city has all the ingredients. You need downtown stadiums. The Rockies thing is such a shame because I'm a baseball fan and appreciator. And if you're in that stadium on a sunny Saturday, you're like, dude, this should be one of the destinations. This should be a diamond of the league. And it's such a shame that we all know why it's not, but it's such a shame that it isn't.
Well, let's do this to get us out of here. Just to give everybody a little appetizer, let's run through the four teams and talk about what it is that you should be interested in for each of them. And I'm going to need to, I've covered Nuggets here, you know, set his vote. I'll start with Nuggets. They're the NBA champs. This one's really easy. They're the NBA champs. They have a two-time MVP who is as fun to watch. He has solved the game of basketball. He has played the game in expert mode and beat it with his eyes closed. The guy is unbelievable to watch. He does something every single game that makes you laugh. He's the only player I've ever watched. Him and Steph Curry are the two players that I've ever watched that made me giggle when I'm watching the game. It's must-see TV every night, and I just feel I've never felt confident as a Nuggets fan until now. And watching Jokic, I'm like, we're going to win every time we step on the court.
What was cooler, you guys know, and I don't, than watching the Elway thing unfold? It's like that.
Yeah.
The Nuggets have never been to the finals, and we're talking about one of probably the 10 best players ever. I really think so, and I honestly think that might be conservative when it's all said and done. So it is kind of like, don't miss the next Elway, you know, at risk of overstating it.
No, and I, when we talked about, you know, the fandom and the 4-for-4s and the real true diehard fan base, obviously, I think to like what it's going to be in 20 years when the kids that are 5 and 6 now that grew up and have seen an Avalanche and Nuggets title within 2 years of each other, how deep the fan base is going to go in 20 years from now, where, you know, kids like, as much as we can all say it doesn't, you know, there's a fan base that loves their team no matter what, but winning makes it easy to love your team. And watching the Nuggets win a title, you know, the kids that are 8, 9, 10 now that got to see that run, and then kids that, you know, got to see the Avs win a title, like maybe that grows into a deeper fan base 20 years down the road.
Yep.
Talking about the Broncos and where we can, you know, what we can look for from them. You know, like I said earlier, I'm not out on Russ. Like, the dude still won a Super Bowl. I'm not out on him. The jury's still out.
A 4-for-4.
But he could turn it around. Whether it's this year, next year. I will say the injury bug kills them every year.
Yeah.
There's no fix to that. It's just an unfortunate scenario of what's going on right now. But you know, hopefully, like moving into, I do think Sean Payton will right the ship. So I think I'm gonna hitch my wagon to him as one thing that you can look forward to is like, this guy doesn't fuck around. He's won in the NFL. He knows what he's doing. And it's just similar to, you know, other than Prime's buffs, like it takes time to turn shit around in most sports. Like he's done something that's unprecedented. But most other sports, college, pro, whatever, you can't just come in and flip a roster and be good. Like it takes time.
Do you have something or no? Baby, save it.
How about CSU? They played pretty well in that game. There's something interesting going on.
I'm in on that new QB. I thought he had a freaking laser of that touchdown
there. Wide receiver, you?
And this is Jay Norvell. To your point about it taking a year, bad year last year. This year, you know, we'll see what happens with them.
Yeah, so, they're not number one on my list, but they weren't on my list at all.
They weren't on
it
at all.
And what that game changed for me is they actually kind of are on my list.
I mean, I think the buffs, it's easy. I mean, everything about them right now is exciting.
The easiest,
I mean,
which, by the way, I'm loving and enjoying for like the 10th time.
Yeah. The Prime stuff is unbelievable. Shadur is the real deal. Travis Hunter is like spectacular. Dylan Edwards is like unbelievably shifty. Man, that guy is so fast.
I'm so mad Travis Hunter's missing 3 weeks. I really am. I just want to watch that guy play.
Yeah, the first game Travis Hunter played, I was watching with my wife, and she goes, I didn't know, like, in college that they play both ways. And I said, they don't. Yeah. I said, this guy's an alien. This guy is something that we've never seen before. And an interesting comment during the games that somebody said that I didn't even think about, like, yeah, they lost Travis Hunter on an offensive play, but that's like losing two players. Right. You're losing an all-world receiver at the college level and an all-world cornerback.
Right. But he's must-see TV. And then, look, the Avs are...
So go Avs, yeah. What's the sell?
Well, they just won the title 2 years ago.
Right.
So it's a bit of a down right now, but they have two of their best players.
I was going to say there's an even better sell, man.
There's an upswing to come, but they have two of their best players ever in a very storied organization, by the way. Cale Makar, who is maybe a kind of like a Jokic type. Keep an eye on how he's changing how we think of the game and positions. And from a casual perspective, I don't know hockey at all. It overlaps with the NBA season, so I don't follow. I watched that playoff run. Electric. It's not just that they're good, they're fun.
They're
it's
unbelievably
they're
fun.
They're unbelievable.
I think Jokic is the most fun player in Denver sports right now. I think Cale Makar is probably number two in terms of, like, do I get my money's worth every time? The Buffs collectively, I don't know if there's like a... I mean, Shedeur is pretty exciting for me to watch.
So
he might be number three for me, but... I mean, right now, Broncos and everything else is a little tough. And then the last sell is Rockies. This is the toughest one.
Give it to me. I got it.
You didn't think I was going to do this myself.
Hot take. Let's save this. Rockies make the playoffs in 2025.
All right, that's 2 years.
Their core right now, Nolan Jones is a special player.
He seems like
Ezekiel
he's dope.
Tovar is a special player.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers is a special player. They have quite a few special players
so they have
now.
Three special players,
they,
you think?
I think more.
Is it in that order?
Hunter Goodman's a special player. Brenton Doyle, like their core of young players.
What kind of guys are they? Are they bombers? Like, what is it? Are like, they base hitters?
Okay, so Brenton Doyle can't hit, but he is a five-tool defensive player.
Okay.
They have two of the best defensive outfielders in the entire game right now, and they're both rookies.
All right.
They Ezekiel Tovar might win the Gold Glove, might also win the Rookie of the Year at shortstop, but he plays for the Rockies, so we know how that goes.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers won a Gold Glove last year at second base. They need to find a first baseman. Hunter Goodman may be that guy. They've got an all-star catcher who won the all-star game. So whatever NL team,
MVP,
maybe the Phillies,
right, yeah,
makes the World Series this year, they can thank Elias Diaz for giving them home field advantage in the World Series.
Wow, that was
because
a galaxy
of what he did.
Brain. Well done. Well done.
No, but I'm serious. Like, and the Rockies finally, this is the year that the Rockies got out of playing the old shitty players. You know, Chris Bryant, they let Jerks and Profar go. They paid these guys to put butts in the seats. Now the younger players are doing that. If you pay enough attention, these younger players are doing that. And that's what you do in baseball. You can buy... Look at the San Diego Padres. They tried to buy a baseball team. They suck just as bad as we do. They're not making the playoffs. You know, you can't do it in every sport. Like, it doesn't always work out trying to buy a team. And so the Colorado Rockies core is special. They need to find some pitching. They need to get... You know, Herman Marquez healthy. Kyle Freeland needs to be better. They got some things to work through pitching wise, but their defensive lineup and offensive lineup, other than the pitching, is a pretty special core of young under 25 players.
Nolan Jones and Tovar in particular are intriguing to me.
And Nolan Jones has the fastest recorded outfield assist ever. And baseball has been recording stats since like our great-great-grandparents were alive.
That's crazy.
You know, it's crazy. There's some special kids on that team.
And it's one of the great stadiums in all of baseball, and we hate that that's been the only calling card for so long. But if there's pipeline talent, this city is starving to go to Rockies games. You can't convince me otherwise.
That's so true. All right, that does it for our show today, guys. Four for fours. I'm telling you, that's real sports fans. Try to mold yourself into a four for four. I'm going to be bringing this up a lot here at DNVR over the next couple years because I just want to make everybody four for fours. To all the Buffs fans that didn't downvote, go Buffs. To everybody else, hit that like button on the way out. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.